Well, we do welcome each one along this morning to this, the first service in our special anniversary weekend. We trust the Lord will be with us, will bless us, we'll know a sense of His presence, and the glory of the Lord will be with us and revealed to us even today. We're going to commence by singing a hymn of praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. It's found, if you're using the hymn book, it's the hymn number 9. It will appear for you on the walls behind me. With harps and with vials there stand a great throng in the presence of Jesus, and sing this new song unto Him who hath loved us and washed us from sin. Unto Him be the glory forever. Amen. We'll stand together after the introduction and we'll sing, and let's really raise our voices in praise unto the Lord this morning. As you take your seats, we will unite our hearts together in prayer before the Lord. Let us be quiet and still and seek His face together, that the Lord's presence will be mightily known in every part of the meeting this morning. Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, we come into Thy presence and before Thee, in and through the name of the only mediator between God and man. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who in the fullness of time took into union with His divine person, human nature. We thank You for the body that was prepared for Him in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We thank You, Lord, that in the fullness of time, the Son of God became man. We thank You, Lord, that He was born into this world, born to die, born to bleed upon the cross as an atonement and a sacrifice for sin. Born, Lord, to open up a way where sinners could be saved from their sin, reconciled unto God, made right with God, have peace with God. We thank You, Lord, that there in heaven, we believe even this day, there is a vast company of people. Many have come from the east and the west and have sat down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven because they've come through Christ. We thank You, Lord, that the choir and company in glory, they sing that new song unto Him who hath loved us, washed us from sin. Unto Him be the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we make today the hymn and the anthem of heaven our hymn as the redeemed of the Lord on earth. We sing praise, we give glory and honor and thanks unto Thee for the Son of God, for His atoning and saving work. For had it not been for the place called Calvary, had it not been for the work of the old rugged cross, had it not been for the man Christ Jesus, then forever our souls would be lost. But we thank You there was a time in our experience when we were saved. We recognized our sin. We realized that we were lost and perishing, and that God in His love would receive us if we came simply and received the gift of salvation offered freely through Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the many gathered here today who can look back to that time when they came as sinners to Jesus. Lord, we want to give Thee thanks for 55 years of gospel ministry in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, Portadown. Lord, there are those who were there at the commencement of that work, and Lord, they're now with the church triumphant in glory, and we thank You for every remembrance of them and for the blessing that they were in this congregation. Lord, we thank You for men and women of God. We thank You for the former minister of this congregation too, and Lord, the memories that many will have of fellowship with saints of God in bygone years. It is sweet and it is blessed. We think of those too who are with us today who were there at the Constitution when the church was founded. We thank You for that, and we thank You for them. We thank You, Lord, for the years of ministry and faithful evangelism and fellowship in this congregation. Lord, while we can look back and rejoice in the past, we cannot relive it. And oh God, it is to the future that we look, and it is to the Lord, to Thee, that we look. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt baptize us with fire afresh. And oh God, that Thou wilt come down among us in a mighty and in a powerful way, as Thou didst even at the beginning. Lord, we think of the words of John the Baptist when he spoke of baptizing with water under repentance. But him that would come after John would be mightier than he was. He would baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit. We humbly confess, Lord, we need that fresh anointing, that fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the ministry, upon, Lord, the service and the work of the Lord in this house. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt be true to Thy word. Thou hast said, ask and it shall be given. We pray upon the minister, upon the session, upon the committee, the congregation, and indeed our community, that a baptism, fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost, will be our experience now and in the days that are to come. We lament the ungodliness of the age, the wickedness of the generation. We know the only answer is Christ and the gospel. May we be channels of blessing and channels of mercy that will bring the gospel to sinners. Lord, make this place the birthplace of souls now and in the days that are to come. We thank you for the one that has come into our midst. Personally, Lord, we give thee thanks for our fellowship with him in the gospel. And Lord, the blessing he has been through the years, and the help he has given. We ask today that as he ministers God's word, that we'll use him again with power. And in the Holy Ghost, bless the girls as they sing. We pray that they'll magnify the Lord, and he himself will descend and bless every part of this special service. Be with us tonight. Remember us as we gather, and we have the fellowship time and refreshments afterwards. Lord, may it be an enjoyable, happy, blessed occasion in thy house this day. We give thee thanks and pray for thy continued presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this stage of our service, we're going to read the Word of God, and we're turning this morning in the Scriptures to the New Testament and to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We will read from verse 1 to the verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be for the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after that I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 16. And we trust and pray that the Lord Himself will give us understanding in the Word of the Lord and bless the public reading of the Word to our hearts. Before the ladies of the house come and sing, I would like to say a few words this morning about the services today. Today, we are really, well, I suppose as a church family, we are primarily marking the 55th anniversary of what began as Portadown Free Presbyterian Church and became Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown. After a gospel mission in 1967, the church was constituted with the agreement and by the Presbytery of Ulster. I intend this evening to say a fuller word and to say more about that anniversary at this evening's meeting. This week was also a personal anniversary for myself and my wife, because on the 31st of May 2002, I was ordained to the gospel ministry by the Presbytery of Ulster, the Free Presbyterian Church. That ordination took place in my home congregation in Utnabi. Dr. Paisley was not able to be there that night, the moderator of our church. And so in his absence, Dr. Douglas, who then was the clerk of our presbytery, conducted that ordination service. I was asking him during the week by email, and just this morning in way of conversation, if he remembered the text that he preached that evening 20 years ago, and he said he did, he remembered it well. It was Acts chapter 26 and the verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. This morning, I want to simply acknowledge publicly and place on record my thanks to God for His help, His support, and His blessing in bringing me and my family through 20 years of gospel ministry. I did not realize that night 20 years ago the significance and the meaning that this text would have upon me. It really has been a motto text for us down through the last 20 years. The first week in June, in fact, I should have checked my calendar before I come out this morning, but I think it was the 4th or 5th of June that my installation took place in Stranraer. It was a Tuesday night, and then my pulpit ministry there began on the 9th of June 2002. We set off those 20 years ago. I know you're thinking that young fella must have just been out of school when they sent him to Scotland. Well, I was 25 and a couple of months off my 26th birthday. I had an even younger wife with a newborn son of 10 weeks old when we set off to Stranraer. I have to confess, I probably had more zeal than either knowledge or wisdom, but I can truly say, having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. And I think if Carol and I were both honest, we would say there were times we maybe didn't think we would reach 2 years. Never mind, 20 years. But the Lord has helped. There's much that I could say about each of the three churches I have ministered in. 2002 to 2009, we ministered in Stranraer and had a little outreach work in Dumfries, some 75 miles east of Stranraer. From 2009 to 2014, we ministered in our church in Antrim. And from September 2014, to the present day, we have ministered here in Bethany, in Portadown. There is much that I could say about my time in each of the three churches, but I don't want to prolong proceedings this morning. I simply want to acknowledge the Lord and give Him thanks for His goodness to me and my family down through those years. But I do want to thank the Lord that in each of those congregations, we have had the opportunity and the joy of pointing souls to Jesus Christ. I can think of the first individual who we pointed to the Lord in Stranraer. It may have been classed as a deathbed conversion, but what an experience it was. I have never experienced the like of it since. And I've told the story before. The man on his deathbed and going in to see him and him asking me how I knew to come that day. He was drifting in and out of consciousness, and as he came round, he said, his words to me were, "It's a real experience. It happened last night, and I've got it." And as I probed and quizzed a little more, his great fear was of dying. He said, "The fears are gone." Hallelujah. He met the Lord. With the joy of pointing others to the Lord there in Stranraer, as in Antrim, and here in Portadown. While it hasn't been hundreds of souls, yet there has been the mercy drops. And there are folk here today who we have had the joy of showing the way of salvation to and leading them to the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for a ministry. Dr. Douglas, the night we were ordained, highlighted that Paul spoke none other things than those which Moses and the prophets did say should come. We've endeavored to have a biblical, Christ-centered ministry. And though I would be the first to confess, I am by no means perfect. I want to thank the Lord for His help down through the years and the ministry that He has given us to preach Christ and the Word of God. In closing, I want to thank my parents. They're here this morning. They supported me through college and also in Stranraer when times were very, very difficult. I want to thank them. I want to thank my children who, I think when we came to Portadown in 7 years, it was our 14th move. Thankfully, we haven't moved in the last 7 years. So my children have been used to moving about. I thank them for their patience and their love. I thank the churches that I have ministered in. As I said, I'm the first to acknowledge I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I appreciate your patience, your support, your love, and your prayers. I want to thank my wife. Time would fail me to say all that I would want to say, but I thank Carol. And ultimately, and most of all, I want to thank the Lord for His faithfulness to me down through these 20 years. I do not know how much longer I have on this earth or even in the ministry. We do not know what a day may bring forth, but as God leads us and gives us grace, we will endeavor to continue to preach Christ and minister for Him. The girls are going to come and sing. I want to say, we were practicing the late last night, and I had thought of singing too. But I have to say, the only note that I can hold, my wife would say the only notes that I can hold are £20 notes. And they're normally hers. And I just could not get the tune or the note and hold the note. And I took the decision last night, very late on in a stressed out kitchen in the manse, and I said, I'm taking the decision. I'll stand over it. I'm not going to mess up the singing for you girls, so you are singing without me. The first piece is a beautiful piece, but the second piece that they're going to sing, Carol sang it at our farewell in Mullaglass over 20 years ago, and she couldn't get through it, and the congregation had to help her out. My times are in thy hand, and truly we can look back and say our times have been in the Lord's hands, and he hasn't failed us, and the girls are going to sing that after their first one. Thank you.
Until I stand
Those two pieces in song. At this stage in the service, I do want to just repeat and extend a very warm word of welcome to each and every one that has gathered this morning. As we said, we have these special anniversary services today, and we're so thankful to see so many faces in the midst. If you're visiting with us, we really give you a warm and special welcome. And we trust that you'll feel at home, you'll know the Lord's presence, and would encourage you to come back again this evening for a service of gospel praise and preaching with the Reverend Fred Greenfield, who was the first ordained minister of the Portadown congregation. He'll be along tonight. There will be refreshments and fellowship afterwards in the church hall, and we would extend that invitation to come back tonight. It's preceded by half an hour of prayer, 6:15 to 6:45. I want to just make the remainder of the announcements for the week ahead, and I will go through them as quickly as I can, so please take note of them. Today being the first Sunday of the month, there is a special monthly offering for the Missionary Council, and all monies placed in the wooden boxes in the hallways will go towards supporting the missionaries of the Free Presbyterian Church. On Tuesday night at 7:30, there is the monthly meeting of committee and session. Wednesday night at 8 p.m. is our midweek service. Due to the anniversary services today and Children's Day being next week, the session felt that we should have a midweek communion service on Wednesday night. We normally have it the first Sunday of the month, but as I say, with the anniversary services today, Children's Day next week, the communion service will be on Wednesday evening, and I will preach the word at that service. On Friday night at 7 p.m., it is the final children's meeting for the summer season. They'll be practicing for Children's Day, and a full turnout is requested. At 8 p.m. in Macrafelt, there's a monthly meeting of presbytery for the elders of the church. Then on Saturday, leaving the church at 9:30, is the children's meeting outing. They're going to Annalong for a picnic and then on to Newcastle. in County Down. So for the boys and girls and the parents, please remember that on Saturday, the annual outing. This will be the first outing since the COVID lockdowns and closures. We're looking forward to a good day out. The service is next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m., Sabbath School and Bible class, the final ones for, again, the summer season, 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m., the morning and evening services. They will take the form of Children's Day services, and the guest speaker next Lord's Day will be Mr. Robert McConnell, one of our children's evangelists. Those are all the announcements this morning before we have the preaching of the Word. We're going to change our positions and sing a couple of verses of 381. 381, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. We're going to sing the first, we'll sing the second, and we'll sing the fourth verse. 1, 2, and 4, changing our positions as we sing. As you know, the offering is not taken up during the service. The blue bags are in the hallways, and all money placed in the blue bags is for the general work of the church, and the wooden boxes then is for the missionary council. So we'll stand to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Gives me great pleasure to welcome into our midst this morning Dr. John Douglas. He's no stranger to the congregation here in Bethany. I want to thank him personally. It means a lot to me for him to be here today and to bring the Word of God, and I'm going to ask him to come now and speak to us from the Scriptures.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here with you and to recognize this very, very special occasion. It's a privilege to have the Word of God and to be ministering in the gospel of Christ this day. Yes, we can look back over those years and look over those years with thanksgiving. I'm not sure if I ever preached in Stranraer during your time of ministry there, but I did certainly preach in Stranraer, and I can recollect being in Antrim very particularly, and now in Portadown as well. So we give thanks to God today for the ministry of God's servants, and I was very close to Mr. Elliott, and therefore I make special mention of him, and we thank God and pay tribute to his memory and for that work God enabled him to do. And we thank the Lord for Brother Abernethy as well and for the gifts and talents God has given him. So it's a privilege to be here and recognize this occasion. I suppose I should say, looking back, that I remember the meetings in Corcoran, and I didn't preach commonly there in Corcoran, but I did preach in Corcoran. So that's gone back a bit. And I maybe on that account can raise an Ebenezer this day and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And then I have a very interesting event to recognize, and I'm going to call upon Clark Session, our brother on Whiteside, if he would come, please. But well, it is a special day, and we have occasion to recognize God's hand. And that text that Mr. Abernethy quoted there is so prominent in our thoughts, and it certainly stands out like a pillar in our lifetime. And that's a message that we can thank the Lord for. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue to this day, saying, and the last wee bit is helpful too, saying nothing else. I'm just rendering it freely, but saying nothing else but that Moses and the prophets should say, nothing else but the Bible. So there's only one book, and that is our theme today. Mr. Whiteside, maybe can I call on your assistance?
Thank you very much. Well, brethren, I was handed a few notes here yesterday, and the Reverend Abernathy has just made them redundant, so there's no point in going over them again. But I will let you into a wee secret that as very few of you may know. Whenever we were looking for a speaker to come to this pulpit, so that the congregation would be able to make up their minds later on that year and who they would want as their minister. I remember as well the Reverend Abernathy, or the Reverend Elliott, he was writing names down. And then whenever he stopped, I says, well, what about the Reverend Darrell Abernathy? He says, oh, that man's a very hard man to get. He says, I have asked him a couple of times, and I haven't been able to get him. But if you want, I will try again. And I says, yes, please. And later on, that year, we were then looking, I thought, as about three names for to go to the congregation that they may vote a man to come here. And really, it was something different. As each elder got up to speak, there was only one name on his lips, and that was the Reverend Darrell Abernathy. Never been in a meeting like that before. So, brother, it's my pleasure on behalf of the session and the committee and the whole of the congregation to ask you if you would please accept this wee small token and gift in recognition and thanks for your 20 years as a faithful servant and minister serving the wonderful message of the gospel. Lord bless you.
Could I just thank Ronald for his kind words? I want to say and thank the congregation for this gift. I did not know that this part of the service was going to happen this morning, nor did I expect it. I simply wanted to place on record my own thanks to the Lord and acknowledgement to Him for His faithfulness to us down through the last 20 years. But I do thank Ronald for his kind words and to the congregation for this gift. He was telling the little story about the Reverend Elliot trying to get me. That's a story for another time. I may have alluded to it before, but we were so happy in Antrim. And my wife and I will bear this out. We were not looking a call. And that's why I told him no, I wasn't coming to Portadown, and I wouldn't give him a booking. But he persisted, and eventually we relented. And the more then we prayed about it, the Lord made it so clear. That's a story for another night. But I do want to thank. I didn't know this was happening. I am humbled, touched, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But we give all the glory to the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
There's just one other thing. You say behind a great man, there's a great woman. And Mrs. Abernathy, we have a wee presentation for you. Shirley is coming with it now.
Well, some surprises are well kept, and that was a very well kept secret, and it was a privilege to be able to spring that surprise on you today and upon our sister Carl as well. Let's all turn to the Word of God. Oh, in an anniversary of all things for God's people to recognize and celebrate, we want to get to the Book of God. And you'll understand this is a special service, and I'm sure you'll allow me a little time as well, given that it is a special day. It's not just a regular occasion, and things are a wee bit different on the day. But it's Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and the chapter 1. And I want you to turn up the place, and if you will, please put a marker in that chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, Mr. Abernathy read from words, and we have a purpose, naturally, in bringing these words in the chapter to your attention. For one thing, those verses at the end of the reading, if you remember them, still, in verse 14 and 15 and so on, and in particular, in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And in this congregation, as well as in other congregations, in our denomination, there's been great emphasis put in prayer, and we have to say, don't stop praying. Isn't that the message here? This is not my text, by the way, but I think it's relevant to show I had you in mind when choosing this reading. We don't want to stop praying. Don't give up on God. Sometimes there's a battle. Sometimes you're under the cloud, but we have the Word of God to guide us. And this is one of Paul's prayers. I have lately been speaking on the prayers of Paul, and naturally then my readings took me to this chapter. And look at what we have been saying there, if you will, because this is relevant to what I'm going to preach about. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your faith in Christ, that's the important thing. How you stand with God even in this congregation now. Maybe you've been identified with a church here over the years. Some of you, no doubt, going as far back as Corcoran. But tell me this. Is your faith in Christ? Have you responded to the Word? Are you a child of God? Are you an heir of glory? Have you got that assurance in your heart? You belong to the Lord. Have you got peace with God? That's the important thing. And Paul is saying here, after I heard of that, that's wonderful. Mr. Abernethy has made reference to those souls who, to his knowledge, came to Christ. And that's something to recognize. After I heard of it, the apostle is saying here, I cease not to give thanks. So we thank God for precious souls who have started out for heaven through the preaching of the gospel. But I want to direct your attention to verse 3 in the chapter. And it's appropriate as well for our anniversary occasion. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What a text. What a text for the 55th anniversary. And we were singing there, weren't we? Count your many blessings, name them. I believe that's honoring to God. Name them one by one. And then there's another surprise in it, on top of the surprises of today. Oh yes, and it will surprise you. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. And above all, that's supremely in our hearts to recognize God's gracious dealings with us, His gracious dealings with you as a congregation, with you personally. So we're indebted. I come with a sense of indebtedness now, standing here on this day particularly before God and this congregation. I feel that sense of indebtedness. And I'm saying, blessed be God. Now, this assembly at Ephesus of the Lord's people occupied a place in the first rank of those churches in the New Testament era. They were one of the best of the churches. And even in those letters in the book of Revelation, you'll remember them, seven letters to the seven churches, Ephesus is given pride of place. Ephesus ranks first. And so there is that suggestion. Here is one of the best churches at the time, a church that's thriving, a church that's really blessed of God. And our text in verse 3 of the chapter bears that out, doesn't it? Look again, if you will. Maybe I could just quickly go through verses 1 to 3 to see how we arrive at the words in the third verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. We thank God in this congregation for the saints and for those who have been faithful, lifting up the standard of the cross. And this is an appropriate time to recognize it too. The saints, nearly every time in your Bible when the word saints appears, we're thinking of real living people, not people who are dead. Now, true enough, these saints to whom Paul is writing, these saints now are dead and gone. Now they're in heaven, and we expect with joy to meet them one day. But at the time of writing, when Paul took that pen into his hand and started writing out this message to the church at Ephesus, these people were alive and well. But they all belong to the Lord. And so he's writing to the saints. Let us keep that in mind, because there's an awful lot of distortion, particularly about this word saints. And some people think, oh, we have to pray to the saints. We may adore the saints and come very near to worshiping them as well. But there's nothing of that in the Bible. There's nothing of that there. The saints are real people. They're living people. And you can see it yourself. I invite you to look at verse 1. To the saints which are in heaven. Well, they're in heaven now, as we've said. True enough. But that's not what it says. The saints which are in purgatory. No, that's not what it says. The saints which are at Ephesus. We know where these people that Paul has in mind, we know where they are. And it's a great thing today. I'm here among the saints of God. Look at the text in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a two-way operation in view here. Because Paul is blessing God. And God is blessing his people. A two-way operation. I believe as we begin to think about verse 3, we've got to start there. Because every bit of the blessing starts with God. This is a marvelous chapter, Ephesians 1. The very mountain peaks of Bible teaching. Profound subjects appear in Ephesians 1. But we have taken a text that is simple on the face of it. I praise God today because of the way he has stood by me, the way he has blessed me and helped me. We have thought about these words already. Notice the words. Most of all, that's what I want you to do. Sometimes you may have taken a pen. And it wouldn't be out of place. It wouldn't be out of place at all for you to underline some of the words there. And we have already gone into an examination of the first line. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what else? We would have to take the word hath. He hath blessed us. And I want to come back on that in a moment because it deserves the closest attention. He hath blessed us. And furthermore, in verse 3, he has blessed us with all. That's a tremendous word. Just three letters. Very simple word, it's true. But when you think of what it entails, we're bound to say this is tremendous. An old preacher long ago, maybe he forgot his schooling, but he said, I love that wee word all, O-L-L. But I'm not going to slip up on spelling it now. We think of all the blessings. Now, that takes some saying. I want to tarry with that in a moment. All the blessings. No mistake. And furthermore, these blessings are characterized with the word spiritual. Now, that's important, as I will endeavor to show in a moment. But all the blessings of God are in Christ. And there's nothing of the blessing of God outside of Christ. How relevant that is. There's nothing of the blessing of God outside of Christ. Because all the blessings that God has treasured up for his saints, they're all found in Christ. And when we think of knowing Christ, trusting Christ, receiving Christ, bowing at his feet, we say, he's the key. He is the key in himself to all the blessings. But we haven't exhausted the list. There's still more to follow. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The word places is in italics. So, yes, it's fair enough to take on board the word places to think of heavenly places. Can we do that now? And we think of heavenly places, and what it is to be there in the glory. Undoubtedly, there is an abundance of pleasures and blessings in store for us. in heavenly places in Christ. The best is yet to be. That'll be something to celebrate when we get there. But then, since the word places is in italics, I'm well entitled to use the word things. Heavenly things. Oh, that's appropriate. You take that into your thinking, that we have all spiritual blessings when it comes to heavenly things. God's people are a prepared people, and their inheritance is in the glory. Could we then just think of some of these words? We'll not get time to fit them all in today, given the circumstances. But let's look at something. This word hath, in the past tense, you will notice, God has already done it. It's not a question whether you may have these blessings, but it's already settled. I like that. The past tense has a good sound ring to it, doesn't it? But then this word hath, given the grammar of it, and I could explain the grammar, but a lot of people would think that was a punishment. You don't want to think about grammar at all. It was never a popular subject at school, and sometimes even in our theological hall. But I say this to you today. Bear me out on this. With past tense, God has done it. But that word hath carries a sense of continuity. And that's one of the better things about it, that he has blessed me, and he is right now blessing me, and he will yet bless me. He blesses me today, he'll bless me tomorrow, but he will bless me in the ages to come. There is no way that we can abbreviate the verse and shorten the list of blessings. I did try to emphasize that little word, all spiritual blessings. And that little word, just the three letters, you've known it for a very long time, I from childhood. But it stretches majestically, way, way, way beyond today, and beyond all that even spiritually we can envisage for the future. God's blessing here goes way beyond all that we can conceive in our minds. I said just now, he has blessed me today. He'll bless me tomorrow as a believer and in the ages to come. That's in the text here, in the chapter, I should say. Look at chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. So we're looking ahead to the fullness of time. History is moving on. Time speeds on ahead of us, and we're lagging behind. But in the dispensation, here's God in his infinite wisdom and omnipotent power ordering the events of time and leading us away to contemplate eternity itself. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, there's that word, all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That stress upon Christ, his work, his person, his glory, his involvement in the blessings we enjoy is emphasized in the verse. But if I think of the time to come, I feel, turn your attention to chapter 2. And if you will, look at verse 7 in chapter 2. I'm saying half, there's continuity in it from the past to the present, way, way out into the future, God's future for us. And in verse 7, the words are that in the ages to come, can you put a limit to that? Can you even begin to comprehend it? Not one of us. Not one of us. but in the ages to come. Can we find a measuring tape and run that tape to its entire length and say, now we have been able to comprehend it all, not a bit of it. That in the ages to come, what will happen? He will show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You're going to remember this service in eternity. And all who are here today will be assembled then, and these words are going to come back ever so powerfully. They'll be much more meaningful then, I have to say, in that hour when we begin to comprehend what the Lord has done. He hath blessed us. And not only is there continuity in it, but certainty. He hath blessed us. There's no question about it. Now, may I say this? The Lord has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, even if for some reason you don't see it and you don't feel it. A man might say, I don't feel blessed. That doesn't change things. We're not blessed in accordance with our feelings, men and women. Thank God for that. Your blessing doesn't rest on your feelings. And you may say, I don't feel blessed. Well, that doesn't alter the truth of it. You may say, I don't see how I'm blessed. A man may say, sure, my life has been turned upside down. My life is empty. My soul is shattered. Everything has gone wrong for me. Somebody could be saying that. How could I be blessed? But you're looking at circumstances. And there's a difference between your circumstances and the blessings. Because these blessings, and you'll bear me out on this matter, these blessings are spiritual. And they're not circumstantial. There's a great difference between the two. It doesn't say in your Bible, take this to heart. It doesn't say in your Bible that God has blessed you in your circumstances. Where did the Apostle Paul write this letter from? In a dark, forbidding, gloomy prison cell. He will die. This man will die in jail. The beloved apostle will die in jail. And a Roman prison is not a heaven on earth. He will die in that jail. He'll be dragged out one day, executed in the most barbarous fashion. Yet he has this triumph to say, blessed be God who has blessed us. Who has! Glory to his name! Men and women in Portadown this very anniversary day, he has blessed us! And there is not only continuity in those blessings he has bestowed upon us, but there is absolute certainty to the point where I may not sense it. I may not see the blessings. If I have an upset in circumstances, I lose my health. I lose the dearest one I have on earth. My home is desolated. My life is just a wreck from beginning to end. Well, I tell you, that doesn't change a thing. And these spiritual blessings are yours beyond all question. He has. That's certainty. And there's not a power on earth or hell can ever overturn the certainty that God has given to this word. He has blessed you. You may not see it today. And I suppose even the best of God's people here today saying, well, I do thank the Lord. I'm raising an Ebenezer today, this anniversary day. I respect you for that. I'm glad that's the case. You can say, I can see God's blessing in my life, all right. And I also have to say, even if you didn't see it, even if you had to say, I don't feel blessed, you can look at your Bible, you know. You needn't turn this up, because I just want to get through this as briefly as I can and make sure that what I say is right to the point. But when you go home, you could turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 4. And you read about the disciples in the boat. And suddenly in the storm, our Savior is asleep. There he is in the stern of the vessel. I don't know whether he had a pillow or whether he had to take somebody's robe and fold up the robe, for the boards in an old boat rocking and heaving are not comfortable. Not a comfortable place either to put your head, but he's asleep. But the storm comes up. These fellows are used being on the boat in Galilee. But this is a storm, they've never seen the like of it. Waves are so high that they sweep over the whole vessel. It's seals and all. And the boat is filling with water. In a matter of minutes, this boat will go down. These men are saying, we're going to die. Now, they didn't die. They feared the worst. And they said as much to the Lord. They used the word perish. You know it well. You could go over the words yourself. You know it well. Carest thou not that we perish? You not care, Lord? A Christian, when he's out of sorts, might say that. That's a mistake. It's worse than a mistake. Aye. What does the Bible say? Casting all your care upon him because he doesn't care for you. No, that doesn't say that. Because he cares. He wouldn't have suffered on the tree. He wouldn't have gone through the agonies of Golgotha if he didn't care for you. So you're horribly wrong because your circumstances have just been so turned about. Life has become disordered. Maybe you say, my life is empty, you see. My life is empty, and how can I be blessed? But you are. The certainty is established. He has. God has blessed us. And the Lord only has to say, wait a minute. Don't make a judgment now. Don't judge the Lord by circumstances. But you judge him by his word and what he is yet to do. You see, that's the great thing. What he's going to do in the ages to come. No end to it. There's continuity, aye, but there's certainty. The devil will never reverse what God has purposed to do. And you and I are going to meet again. We're going to meet one glad day in the glory. And we'll rejoice. Even if you had to say, no, I had a rough time for a while. And the tears flowed. And my heart was broken. And my life was empty. But the Lord never said he would bless your circumstances. He said he would bless you. And there is a difference. And we mustn't confuse the two. And those people on the boat, this is what I wanted to say. If you and I could travel back through time and if we could speak comfortably to them, we would say to Peter and James and John, who are going through a horrific time and they think we're going to die. They use the word perish. We're all going to die. We'll never get out of this. You're wrong. Your life is in his care, in his keeping. So don't always fear the worst. And there are people like that. Always the worst concept in mind. But listen to this. They didn't die. But if I, and you with me, if we could shake Peter and say, aren't you blessed, Peter? In the middle of the storm, when he's crying out for fear, and he said, we're all going to die here. We're going to die. Look, the ship is filling up with water. Didn't seem he was blessed. He wouldn't have believed it. He would say, I don't feel blessed. But looking back on it, the lessons he learned, that's different. That's where the spiritual blessings come in. He would never have been willing to say, I feel blessed today in this boat. And we're going to sink in 5 minutes' time. We're all going to sink and we're all going to die here. He wasn't saying, I'm blessed. But it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you feel. You may not feel blessed. You may not sense the truth of it at all. You don't see it. And you may even say, I don't believe it. But you're blessed just the same. Could I just answer a question now? That question is, what are these blessings? My answer to that is that in the epistle to the Ephesians, verse 3 could well be the key to the whole epistle. It's one of the ways, certainly, you could study Ephesians. And I'm going to have time only to just give you the points. I'll be quite candid. I'd just love to preach them right now, but I won't tax your patience. Could I list them? What are these blessings? Remember, they're spiritual blessings. And God says all of them. Oh, there isn't one left out. All spiritual blessings and heavenly things in Christ. What are they? There's a wonderful one. Chapter 1. Just take a verse out of every chapter. When you go home today, if you have an hour, just take a few. You could read it through in one sitting. 6 chapters. Could I just press this on you today? You've listened so well. Look at verse 6. Do you know, I'm thankful to God for verse 6. I would have to say this is one of the great spiritual blessings. What am I talking about? To the praise of the glory of His grace. Oh, yes. Wherein He has made us accepted, the like of us, the like of me, to be accepted by God in Christ. What does it mean to be saved? Well, God has accepted me. People sometimes say in preaching the gospel, would you accept Christ? Oh, but the gospel's far more than that. I'm talking about God accepting you. And I am accepted in the Beloved. God has accepted me. How could that be done? How could He accept me into the fold and family of God? He has accepted me. And when the moment comes for me to depart this life, He'll accept me. He's going to accept me into heaven. And in the great judgment day, I need not fear for a moment when the books are opened and every man stands before God. I'll not need to fear for a moment because He'll accept me. He accepts me in the judgment. The Bible actually teaches that. And how does that acceptance come about? Verse 7 gives you the answer. Because of His work for me in the cross. His life is accepted for mine. His suffering on that cross. His precious blood is accepted for me. His risen life is accepted for me. All the way through, as I look at Christ the Savior, I am accepted in Him. It's not my prayers. It's not my faith. I would have to say, my faith isn't perfect. My prayers are far from perfect. Anything that I could call good works, likewise, far from perfect. I know it only too well. Far from perfect. So I'm not accepted because of my faith. Who see that? I'm not accepted because of my prayers. I'm not accepted of God because I'm a minister. I'm not accepted because of good works. I'm accepted for all that He has done. All He's done for me through the precious blood of the cross, making redemption. Are you redeemed this day? Then glorify God for that. That's powerful. In chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says there, it should be 8 and 9, I should have said, just working. in the spur of the moment. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I see a complete salvation, a free salvation, an everlasting salvation right there. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No such a thing as standing up in the judgment boasting. No, it's all done, you see. That's the secret of salvation. It's all done. The Lord has finished. The Lord has finished the work. I'm resting in Him. So, the blessings, such as we list them today, first of all, I'm accepted in the well-beloved. I'm the like of me. Mr. Abernethy used the phrase earlier, only a sinner saved by grace. That's what we are today. If you are a Christian, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. But everything I have and enjoy to all the fullness is in Him. Blessed. Blessed. Doesn't matter what I feel. It's what God has done. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly things, in Christ. And conveniently, chapter 1, I'm accepted. I'm accepted in Him. That's marvelous. Chapter 2, I have a salvation freely given. Everlasting salvation freely given without works. Chapter 3, well, I'm introduced to His love in chapter 3. In verse 17 and 18 and 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You have there the dimensions of that love, but His love passes all that, goes away beyond the bounds of human knowledge and understanding. And I'm introduced to His love. That's matchless. That is matchless, I say to you today. Isn't it good to be here? Isn't it good to have God's precious word? What are the blessings? To be accepted in the well-beloved. To have a salvation freely given that's not by works. That sits me. That sits me down to the ground. And thirdly, to have the love of God. How could the Lord love me? How could the Lord ever love me? Now, that is one of the spiritual blessings. And chapter 4, you'll agree I'm getting through them very quickly. Chapter 4, verse 1. Do you see this? I have the privilege. Dear believer, dear child of God in this house, you have the privilege not only of being accepted by God and a salvation without works and introduced to His matchless love, but you have the privilege of walking with God. Oh, what a thing. Look at that. In verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord. There's Paul, poor Paul, in jail. And yet he's triumphant and saying, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. In spite of the jail where he is. If you and I were taken back through time and just dropped into that jail, you would say, I would have a hard, hard time surviving here. But he has triumphed in Christ. The blessing's not in the circumstances, but in Christ. And ye that I walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And verse 17 shows you that there's a negative side. You're not to walk like the ungodly if you're a believer. You have the privilege of walking with God. Isn't that a marvelous blessing? To walk with God. And then chapter 5. Well, I'd have to pick out verse 18 there. The blessing of power for service. That we fill with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. Don't copy the world. Don't slip into bad company. Listen, beware. Is this for a young person? Or is it indeed for an older person? Are you in danger of slipping into the wrong companionships? Watch your step. The Lord has saved you to bring you out of the world, not to send you into it. And you have to give that serious thought, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The world's not a heaven. Oh, there's so much that needs to be said there. You'd agree with that. But empowered for service, to have the Holy Spirit in His fullness in your heart. And that's chapter 5. Only one chapter to go. And where could you go in chapter 6? But to the verse 18, the blessing of prayer. What would it be like if you couldn't pray? There's a sense in which you say, I can't pray. I don't have great talents in prayer. But prayer to be effective doesn't rest on your talents. It is to be referred to the fact that we're accepted by God in Christ alone. In Christ alone. But there's prayer. And wouldn't you just like to think about that? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. You have to watch your step and watch your situation when you're living for God, and even when you're in prayer, because the devil can bombard your mind with all sorts of thoughts and difficulties. Or the phone may ring. That's the time the phone rings. But get that time alone with God, no matter about the phone. With all respect, I say that. With all perseverance, you've got to stick at it. And supplication for all saints. And then Paul says, don't forget me. The Lord will give me utterance. Imagine Paul needing utterance. He was the chief speaker. But when it came to speaking for the Lord, he said, I need help from God. And that's the master text today. He says, I want to speak the way I ought to speak. And men and women, that's it. We want to serve the Lord the way we ought to serve Him. And when we pray, isn't it right? Isn't it right? When we start to pray, we want to pray the way we ought to pray. And when we read the Bible, isn't it right? That's the way to read the Bible, the way we ought to read it. And when we speak for Christ, how are we going to do it? But my prayer is, Lord, help me to preach it the way it ought to be preached. And then we can say a hearty amen. And praise the Lord. Lovely to be here today. It's a privilege. You could see how I could say it could take an hour and a half with those special points. But I thought by rushing through them there, especially when there's a verse involved each time, you can go back later and start marking these, all the spiritual blessings. Mr. Abernethy, thank you for today. Amen.
We want to thank Dr. Douglas for being with us this morning. Really appreciate it. And I know that the word has been a blessing to my heart. I trust it has to yours. And we trust the Lord will continue to show us the great spiritual blessings we have in Him. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Do remember the meeting tonight. We invite you to come back, and we'll have not only praise and preaching, but there'll be refreshments and fellowship afterwards. And we can take time with each one and have a little fellowship in the gospel with you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we close this meeting, we can truly say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Continue to work in our lives. And Lord, whether it be sunshine or storms, we pray that we will always remember that the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith is the portion of His people now and in the ages to come. We give Thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.